May the words of my mouth, our mouth, and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen.
Okay, everybody's already seated.
I'm going to sit down.
Do you remember 2 weeks ago in the call how we said God shows his power chiefly by mercy and by pity? And I thought, you know, let's think about that just for a minute. Let's think about the meaning, the definition of mercy and pity. What it means to all of us, what it means to you, what it means to me. Well, how about the word compassion? That definitely comes in. And then forgiveness. And then sympathy. But even more, it's an action. It's compassionate sympathy, a thinking, a feeling, and a doing. It's actually the capacity of feeling pity, willing to be with someone who is suffering in order to alleviate, to take away some of the pain or grief or anxiety or the anguish or distress that they're having. It's an actual giving of ourselves to another person. That's stewardship. And that's Jesus' way. So for today, I'd like to look at the examples in our lessons, the Old Testament lesson and the Gospel. Well, first off, we have Naaman. Now, he's a commander. He's a hot shot. But he also has leprosy. Then on the other hand, we have this young slave girl. She was taken from her family, and she was a slave to Naaman's wife. That was her mistress. But that young slave girl had faith. But she also, think about this, she also had pity and mercy towards Naaman. And she was also very courageous, very brave, because the young girl got up enough gumption to tell her mistress about the prophet Elisha who could heal Naaman. She could have been killed right on the spot. Especially if it didn't work. But then the wife, the mistress, told Naaman. And then Naaman told the king. So here we even have the king of Syria who wrote a letter to the king of Israel. And in the verses that we didn't read, we wish they hadn't taken them out and all. But the king sent Naaman the letter and approximately $80,000 worth of treasures, lots of goodies, and they went to the king of Israel. But now we have the king of Israel who tears his clothes, he rents his clothes because he's upset, he hears that the Syrian king is trying to start an argument because the king of Israel feels that Naaman's healing is absolutely impossible. So the king of Israel doesn't have faith in God. But Elisha has faith. So Elisha tells Naaman what to do to be healed. But then what happens? Well, Naaman, he gets very insulted. He gets indignant. He's angry. He's enraged because he's kind of a hot shot, like I said. And Elisha sends out a messenger. He doesn't come himself, so he's insulted. And then he sent Naaman to the Jordan River to wash 7 times. So, first of all, he said, what the heck? I could go to the river Pharpar or Abana and wash there. But it's way too easy for him. But then here we have his slaves. They take a risk too, just like that little slave girl. And they encourage him. Obey Elijah. Obey the prophet. Come on. You would have done it if it was hard. Do what he says, no matter what. And he could have killed them right on the spot. But what did he choose? He chose to listen. And he chose to go to the Jordan River. He chose to obey. He washed 7 times. No matter if it made him feel like a fool or not, but he did it. And he was healed. So the end result was that Naaman now knew for a fact that there is no other God other than the holy God of Israel. Well, the result of his faith came about from the faithfulness, the stewardship of that young slave girl, Naaman's wife, even the Syrian king, Elisha, the servants of Naaman, all of them had pity and mercy and courage. Faith in the Lord brought about new faith in Naaman, and that is stewardship. Well, then we've got our gospel, which is similar but different. What kind of got my attention right off the bat is that the lepers actually knew to go to ask for mercy, where Naaman didn't know that yet, but the lepers knew to go to Jesus for mercy and healing. And what happened? Jesus heard them, and he saw them. Well, now, lepers in those days, they were thought to be cursed by God. They must have been awful sinners because they had leprosy. So they were shunned, they were outcast, they had to wear bells on them, they had to be basically invisible, they had to stay away from people, they had to be hidden from others. So they knew to stay away from Jesus, but they still went to him. And Jesus heard them, he saw them, and he had mercy on all of them, all of the lepers. Now, according to Jewish law, the religious law, Jesus did exactly what he was supposed to do. He was a good Jew. And he told them, he said to the lepers, he said, now go and show yourselves to the priest. Because that was the religious law. And all of the lepers, all of them, they went. And as they went, as they obeyed Jesus, all of them were healed. All of them were restored. But only one returned. And not the Jew, it was the Gentile. They were all of them healed because they listened and they obeyed. But the Samaritan returned. Why? Because he was grateful. And he wanted to praise God. And he wanted to praise and thank Jesus. Worship, praising God, having gratitude, being grateful, being thankful to the Lord is stewardship. Our worship during the week and having a discipline of coming on Sunday, that is stewardship. Worshiping our God no matter what. So Jesus offers this mercy to all of us, to each and every one of us. But we have to choose whether to reject it or accept it. We have to choose either to listen to our Lord or to ignore him, especially when it's convenient. We have to choose whether to obey him or not. We have to choose whether to take all we have for granted or to realize that God gave it to us and thank him for it. Listening, being receptive, obeying and responding with gratitude to Jesus is our life stewardship. And I'd like to end with just the first half of the verse in the song, because this is what our worship is. Hallelujah, I will give thanks to the Lord.